Good morning. I'm Tracy Howe Koch, a relatively new member to Alton Unitarian Universalist Church. I have been a Unitarian Universalist for about 10 years now, and in those 10 years, I have been asked many, many, many times, so what do you believe? I imagine many of you who have been brave enough to publicly declare your Unitarian Universalism have also been asked that. Or perhaps you've kept your Unitarian Universalist faith within the family, but your child has come up to you and asked, Mom, do you believe in Jesus? Will I go to heaven when I die? These types of questions can lead to a sense of panic in many UUs. We often deflect them with clumsy answers and hope the situation disappears. Or we hope that the children's religious education department education classes will eventually provide some sort of answers to life's difficult questions. I find many of us, though, tend to answer these spiritual questions in the negative. For instance, well, I don't believe in Jesus as my savior, or I don't believe in a heaven. Maybe we even go a little deeper and say, well, I really don't believe in an organized patriarchal religion, and my God does not discriminate on the basis of race, class, and sexuality. Those are a whole lot of negatives. But does that really give you a clue into what at heart we believe? What do you believe? Some of us cringe at the word spirituality. We are devout humanists, agnostics, and atheists, and we don't see any room for spirituality in our lives. But like it or not, we are spiritual beings. We have all wondered, why are we here? What does this all mean? Some of us push those questions away. How do we even begin to answer them? Others spend their whole lifetime devoted to seeking these answers. Because of our humanity, though, we will never really know. But how we choose to live our lives, we can fill the emptiness that almost all of us experience at some point. Spirituality can be a very ambiguous term. What does it mean exactly? For this sermon, I would like to use the definition that Frederick John Muir uses. Spirituality is the word used to describe the interdependent workings of both the spirit and the soul. Spirituality is about the inner dimension. It is what is deep inside of us and how it manifests itself in our lives. I love this definition because it is so intensely personal. It does not require a belief in a higher being, but the thought that there is something holy and sacred in all of us. Many of us have come to church because we are looking for something more. That something more is spirituality. We are looking to fill our soul. Why should we be bothered to explore our own spirituality? I come to church. Isn't that filling the void? I like what the minister says. I feel connected to all you people. I get involved in all the wonderful social action projects that the congregation participates in. Aren't we all about deeds, not creeds? I am doing those deeds. I feel good about helping others. I am contributing and living my values. I am leading by example. Hopefully those pesky questions will just disappear and people will just see that I am a good person without all that baggage of creedal spiritual beliefs. I am free and happy. I think we all realize, though, that life throws us curveballs. It is hard to see a grace in the beautiful rainbow when your life is stressed out by work, health, and family, and church becomes just one more thing on that to-do list. Where do you go when you've had enough? What do you fall back on when you need strength and hope? For more creedal religions, it is easy to turn towards scriptural doctrine. Just have faith. God has a plan. What do you do, though, if you aren't sure you have faith? Where do you go when you just don't know? How do you answer your child's need to feel secure in something? Spending time nurturing your spiritual side can lead us to be more centered, happier, able to handle stress better, and lead a more meaningful life. We only get one chance at this life. Why not make it the most fulfilling it can be? Jean Newinger, in her book, The Gift of Faith, notes that spiritual well-being, hope, faith, and inner peace all contribute to physical well-being. It has been well documented that people who are devout, who are clear in their faith, who are meaningfully connected to religious communities, and who are actively engaged in prayer and meditation recover more quickly and fully from serious illness and injury. The Reverend Barbara Wells observes that her spiritual practice helps her stay centered on who I am, why I'm here, and what I am to do. I believe I am a better person because the spiritual path I have chosen. Thus, not only does an active spiritual practice provide practical benefits, it also helps fill the deep and need for greater meaning in our lives. And who wouldn't want that? I need to take a moment here and also make a special appeal to parents. You are your child's primary religious educator. Sending them to Sunday school is just one small aspect of nurturing their spiritual development. We only have them here for, at the maximum, 40 hours a year. Where are they the rest of their lives? With you, family, friends, and a million other outside influences. Children are innately spiritual beings. Whether you help guide them or not, they will find answers to these questions. I remember a spiritual crisis I had when I was 13. All of a sudden, it dawned on me, out of the blue, that I was just an insignificant speck in this universe. It hit me like a thunderbolt. It was a full-blown existential crisis in the middle of South Dakota, of all places. I would have loved it if my parents had been open to different theological discussions. I think it would have provided me a lot of comfort that summer. Newager states, though, parents should take seriously their own religious grounding first, their own religious education, their own spiritual nurture. Only then can we provide our children with a deep and unified faith that will follow them into adulthood. It is yet another reason to pursue spiritual your own spiritual development and practice. Exploring spirituality and establishing spiritual practice can seem very daunting. Does it require special equipment? Do I have to walk in the woods and commune with nature? Do I have to pray every night? The beauty of spiritual practice, though, is that there's no one-size-fits-all. There are many ways to delve into spirituality. The Reverend Scott Alexander considers spiritual practice to be any regular, intentional activity that serves to significantly deepen the quality and content of your relationship to the miracle of life. Reverend Wells broadens this thought to include three components: personal devotion, finding a mentor, and worshiping in communion. I find these definitions really encompass what I believe is important in spiritual development. To me, personal devotion has to be regular. Now, regular can mean once a day, once a week, or once a month. Others may find, but it's something that is consistent. Many find that prayer and meditation are invaluable. Others may find that their morning run to be the most spiritual part of their day, while others journal in the evening. When was the last time you heard silence and just could be alone with your own thoughts? In our overconnected world, we are often hard-pressed just to be alone. I challenge you all to find just 10 minutes in your day to devote to some sort of spiritual activity. These can be the above-mentioned ideas or uniquely your own, but something that brings you more deeply into yourself. If you are feeling that you need some more guidance, participate in an adult religious education class. I've taken many of these, and I believe Reverend Van Zandt will be offering one in the fall, and have found them wonderful starting points in my personal meditation and prayers. Remember, there's no one prescribed way. Reverend Wells also suggests finding a mentor. When I read that, I wondered exactly what is a spiritual mentor. Then I realized that I've had actually several of them, but I considered them friends and hadn't thought about them in those terms. To me, a spiritual mentor is someone I can freely bounce off my ideas. They challenge me and question my thoughts. They listen to me and I listen to them. There's no right or wrong, but just an ongoing dialogue of discovery. Hopefully the mentoring is mutual and you can both deepen and broaden your spiritual practice. Mentors can be found at church, in chalice circles, or even friends of different faith traditions. I have even found some of mine through a theological book club I participate in every couple months. You may be surprised at how much you learn when you put yourself out there and your beliefs. The discussions can be quite dynamic and enlightening. It just requires a little bravery on your part. Finally, worshiping in community is one of the best ways to deepen and discover your spirituality. Coming together in the spirit of communion connects us to the greater whole. We are not alone in this world. Our lives have greater meaning, and worshiping together helps us realize that larger focus. We are in this together, we celebrate and mourn together, we grow and love together. Whether you are in a church, conference, or retreat, coming together nurtures our souls and is as important as an individual practice. While spirituality can be deeply personal, being with other people who support your choices can be very life-affirming. I have briefly listed three aspects of developing a spiritual practice, but I want to reiterate there really is no right path. There are as many paths as there are people. The path you choose now may not be the one that you need later in life. Almost every great spiritual leader has explored many different ways to their spirituality. The Buddha is an excellent example of going from one extreme practice to finding peace in the middle way. It is okay to try several different methods. If journaling doesn't work for you, try yoga. Just make sure to give it some time. Spiritual enlightenment doesn't happen overnight, if it happens at all. Like most things, it takes practice and commitment. Lastly, start small. Make little changes at first. A spiritual practice is not an all-or-nothing venture. One small thing my family does is we light a chalice at dinner time every night and say a grace. The chalice connects us to our faith tradition, while the grace helps instill gratitude for the food we are about to eat. I especially like this tradition because it demands that we are all at the table, settled and focused. It also, in a small way, helps the children connect with their own spirituality. It is a sacred moment for our family. Spirituality and spiritual practice are lifelong pursuits that begin when we are born and are instilled when we are children. In your order of service, you may have noticed I've included some spiritual homework. I encourage you to take a moment to reflect on some of the ideas I have listed and choose one to put in practice. Obviously, you don't have to, but I would highly encourage it. My hope is for all of you to live the most meaningful life as possible. We may never be able to answer all of life's hard questions, but we do have a soul that needs to be filled. Whether you choose to fill it up is up to you, but the benefits of a happier, more centered life are hard to ignore. Please give this gift to yourself and your family. You deserve it. Thank you.